The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Welcome to the Phantom Files. We're a Sci-Fi Wire podcast about people who really, really love stuff. If you're a Trekkie, you're a mega weeb, or you run around like Naruto, this is the podcast for you. I'm Jordan Zacharin, features editor at Sci-Fi, and I'm joined as usual by my friend and co-host, Emily Gaudette, who has a bad cold. Emily, say something and prove it.
Hello, how are you?
This is the second introduction you've written, Hero, and you're really throwing me for loops.
Yeah, I'm keeping you on your toes, though.
How am I doing, though? Do I seem like I'm just going with it?
You even cleaned it in real time. You, like, got rid of a couple syllables that were extraneous. Yeah, it was good.
I'm gunning for a news anchor host here. Job here, so.
Oh, my God. I would watch it every night. Cam and I would make popcorn to watch.
Well, what's going on, other than you being sick?
Coming up on the holidays.
True.
That's
Weather
cool.
Alert for the podcast.
Yeah, T-minus a few days until I fly out to my family, so.
Although this is going to be airing on Christmas Eve.
Oh, well, in that case, I'm tingling with Christmas magic somewhere.
Is your whole family going to gather around the tree and listen to this on Christmas Eve?
That's the thing. So, traditionally, my dad reads from the Book of Luke to us.
Oh, you don't listen to podcasts?
No.
That's what most families do.
But yeah, maybe we'll listen to this episode instead.
What's the book? No, it's in the Bible, but what is that?
It's like from the point where Herod tries to kill all the baby boys in his village and up until, I think, like the angel scares the shepherds. And so it's like a segment of the Jesus birth story.
Wow. That's the thing about Christmas. It's kind of a dark story, but we put glitter and garland on it.
It's got some pretty good dramatic stakes when you think about it.
Does your dad act it out?
No. He's like very serious and he reads it like Harold Camping.
So he doesn't like act it out or anything like that?
No, I wish.
Oh,
no.
I would love that.
I don't know if we're going to do it since I'm bringing a man home.
Mm.
We'll see.
Yeah. You think your dad would be embarrassed or?
I don't know. My dad's like the kind of person, so he prays before he eats, but he doesn't like make everyone hold hands and do a thing.
It.
But it's kind of hard to eat when someone's next to you, like, bless us, O Lord, in these thy gifts. Like,
how long
loud
is the prayer?
Bless us, O Lord, in these thy gifts, which we're about to receive from your bounty through Christ our Lord. Amen. So short.
Okay, so it's not like he's, like, you made it sound like he just keeps praying and praying and praying, and you're like, I can't eat.
Sometimes he goes off the cuff, but
just wings it.
Yeah. Yeah, I did a whole stand-up bit about that, but my father can never see that.
Yeah, well, I'm sure he won't.
Mm.
So question for you.
Yeah.
Well, as you wrote in the script, you love Christmas movies and we're doing a Christmas special here. And what is your favorite Christmas movie?
I thought about it a lot. I wish it was like more edgy, but it's A Wonderful Life. It's
okay.
Just great.
Yeah. You know what I watched last year on Christmas Eve?
Mm.
Julie and I watched Meet Me in St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
One of the worst movies that's ever been made. And it's barely about Christmas.
I can't even really remember
it's
the
trash.
Deal. I know the trolley song, and I know that she sings Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas.
Right. That's the only Christmas part of it.
Oh.
Yeah, it's trash otherwise.
Hmm. What's the plot in 30 seconds? Nothing?
I couldn't tell you.
Wow.
It's like turn of the century, Missouri or St. Louis, and there's a big city, and St. Louis is like the big city, and it's trash, and don't invest your time in it.
Have you seen It's a Wonderful Life?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
Of course I've seen It's a Wonderful Life. So you're bringing Cam home for Christmas.
Yep. Yeah.
How are you feeling about that?
Good, actually, because I've set it up in a way that makes me feel comfortable. We're staying in a hotel.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to go to Santa Fe by ourselves. My sister's there. She's like an ally. You know, if you have to introduce your partner to your parents, pro tip, have a sibling.
Oh, they haven't met Cam yet?
No.
Oh, wow.
Nobody has.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You live with them and they haven't met him.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I know.
Do you have a Christmas tree at home?
We do. We have a huge one.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice.
It was awesome. I've never bought Christmas things knowing that we're going to pack them up and use them next year.
Mm.
So that's been really interesting. And I was going to go the route, like I was looking at, you know, like funny ornaments, but Cam was like, like wanted to invest, I guess, in ornaments.
Like sell them later.
He like had a lot more opinions about it than I thought he would. So we have like only antique hand blown ornaments on the tree.
I just bought a King Kong ornament.
Really?
Yeah.
This my
first
I saw
tree. This is my first tree ever.
Does it have a sound?
No.
Oh.
I mean, unless like it didn't list it in the. I also want people to know that when Emily said, does it have a sound? She was like sort of flicking her thumb like it was a lighter.
Well, no, because usually it's like a Hallmark classic, right?
Yeah.
I saw it on Twitter. They have little buttons and it'll be like.
Well, maybe it does. I don't know. I'm so new to the game. Julia.
Has she always had a tree?
Yeah, she's always had a tree.
Oh, cool.
And I never did because I was deprived. Also Jewish. And now we have a tree. And she keeps asking my opinion on different things about it, which is very welcome. But I'm like, I literally don't know.
That's fun, though.
Yeah. So we got all these kind of different New York-y ornaments.
That's
definitely
great.
Not expensive.
Oh, ours weren't expensive. We got them at a thrift store. But,
okay.
Not
just
like,
hoping to like take them on Antique Roadshow and be like, wow.
Yeah.
That was like the Pope's ornament.
Yeah. It's weird. Like traditions. I mean, Cam always had Christmas, too. But you have overlapping traditions and mine are more religious. But one was like the youngest person in the household is the one who puts the thing on the top.
Mm.
And so I just made our rat Smudgy do it.
Was the rat able to grip the top?
No, but she had her little paws on it.
So. Was it a star? What is it?
Yeah, it's like a star that I got at Crate and Barrel. Shout out to Crate and Barrel.
Wow, you are definitely a different person than when I met you.
Mm-hmm.
we got a star. It's coming in the mail still. It is one of the Super Mario stars.
That's so cute.
Yeah, I feel like she's getting these things also to like.
She's doing it for you.
Yeah, like so I can like dip my toe in the Christmas waters.
Aww.
And like not be uncomfortable.
Christmas is so amorphous now. It's like it is whatever you want it to be.
I am so new to it, and that's what the show is. Well, the show is not about me being new to Christmas.
I wish.
But it's about Christmas traditions. People who are super fans. They have whole TV shows about like Christmas lighting up. You know, I sent you guys that story about the guy in what was it like Idaho, that was. I think his entire neighborhood.
Oh, yeah. Lights. By you guys, he means me and Eric.
Yeah. That's all. The only people I know.
Yeah.
So I've always been fascinated just as someone who didn't have Christmas growing up.
It is bizarre.
Yeah. It's not that I thought it was bizarre that people were into it. It was just like such a foreign thing to me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would love going to the mall because it was like, well, look, there's like Christmas. And it was like, that's the only place I can get my teeth in it.
Yeah.
I used to bite Christmas in the mall. So on this podcast, we have a very special guest, Santa Claus himself.
I should have brought jingle bells.
Yeah, you should have. Well, maybe in the edit, we're going to put jingle bells
right
in there.
Right here. Ching, ching, ching.
Ding, ding, ding. We're just going to actually leave that there. our guest today is Santa Rick. He calls himself that in emails and texts and phone calls. He's been a Santa for almost 50 years, and he is the dean now of the Northern Lights Santa Academy, where he teaches other people how to be Santa and gets them Santa work. Santa Rick, thank you for being on the show.
Well, you're quite welcome. It's a pleasure to be here with you. I'm checking the naughty and nice list, and as a matter of fact, I just looked up your name, and you're on the nice list this year.
That is a surprise to me. Thank you.
Oh, that's so good.
It actually is a surprise to me, too.
You are already so good at this.
Yes.
So, you've been, as you said on the phone and you said on your website, you have been doing Santa in some form or another for like almost 50 years. Can you tell us how you got into the Santa game?
Well, I was 16 and I was in high school and I was just looking for something fun and cute to kind of do with my peers. And so I thought, why not try and be Santa? And it worked out really good. The girls thought it was really cute and the guys thought it was really goofy and everything seemed to work out fine. And that worked for 10th, 11th and 12th grade. But then after I got out of high school, I did it for children rather than peers. And children are amazing, and I've always loved children, so it was a wonderful, wonderful experience.
So where were you doing it when you were doing it for kids at different events or stores or parties?
People's houses around, family and friends and a couple people that would, want to hire me.
And so what about it? You kept doing it and doing it like you've been doing it for so many years. What keeps you going?
oh, the children keep me going. There is nothing in the world like looking into the eyes of another fellow human and seeing that excitement and joy that they get from talking with Santa.
Mm.
And they can be 4 or 94, the eyes light up. It's amazing.
Aww.
It's so interesting that people are so good. Like Emily was just telling me about the time she learned there was no Santa. People are so devoted to.
Whoa. What'd you hear?
What?
You can't start the podcast like that, Jordan.
Oh my God, I'm the worst. Emily just told me about the time that she found out that Santa Claus was real, but, you know, sometimes people also dress up as Santa, so not every Santa Claus is real.
It's true.
That's true. Not every Santa is real. Santa has helpers.
That's what I meant.
Yes.
Santa's in training, and then there are Santa wannabes. It's all true.
Mm. But that's what I meant. I apologize for speaking out of turn.
Well, that's all right. You know, a lot of people get confused that way.
Yep.
Sure, yeah. But yeah, Jordan and I were talking about, I remember the emotional effect it had on me. I mean, like, Santa's kind of a member of your family if you're growing up celebrating Christmas. How do you go about being a character that's so familiar and personal to so many people?
Well, first of all, Santa is one of the two most recognized faces in the world.
Mm.
And while he may look a little different in different countries and cultures, he's still Santa and everybody knows who he is. That being said, he's also the most photographed person in the world. But it's easy to be Santa because I knew you since the time you were born. I've known your parents since they were born. I've known your grandparents since they were born, and even your great parents, grandparents, and your great-great-grandparents. And so I am family, and I am universally trusted and loved because I universally trust and love each and every one of you.
Mm.
How many of the cookies that they leave out for you are actually good?
Oh, you know, they were all good until they started this gluten-free cookie stuff. And even worse than that is the almond milk and coconut milk. I mean, there is no coconut milk. Milk comes from cows.
Wow. Santa is not a vegan. Found that out today.
So you've obviously perfected the art of training Santas, but when you were coming up, did you have a mentor, or what was your training like?
Well, I was a drama major in college, so I had an acting background, mm-hmm. and I also sang my whole life, so I was an entertainer as well in general. I also got to do some public speaking. And back then, there were no Santa schools except for one in the United States.
Wow.
And that was a school that had about 30 people who came to it. Half of them were alumni. And basically, no one knew there were any schools until about 15 years ago. So the Santa industry in the United States, it didn't exist. Everybody was just a guy in a red suit for the first couple hundred years of the United States being around, and then about 15 years ago, schools started to pop up, and it became a profession.
What do you think was the reason all these schools started proliferating?
Well, Santa's an iconic figure, and he's very important, and he's very much a part of people's lives. He provides hope and inspiration and love and just open acceptance to everybody. And I think that society demanded an upgrade in Santa. Santa was basically a prop. He was someone who the parents would bring the children to for a picture. That was their agenda. And the children really wanted someone they could talk to and relate to and who could really understand their hopes and dreams and aspirations as well as their wants for toys. Santa's, these guys in red, realized there was a shortcoming. And we developed schools and made it a profession.
And so what do you, you know, you run the school as the biggest in the Southeast. It's wildly successful. What do you emphasize at your Santa school?
Well, the first thing is you have to look like Santa. And that's something that has changed from the guys in red. If you look at old pictures of Santas, aside from the fact they all had designer beards, the beards looked really bad.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the good news. The bad news is their suits in many cases look really bad. And that's not the worst news. The worst news is that many of them didn't even have white beards, and Santa's beard had to be white as snow. That's what the poem says. They had yellow and gray beards and salt and pepper beards. So the first thing that we teach about being Santa is, or one of the more important things is, you have to look like Santa. But after you accomplish that, you have to talk like Santa, and your backstory is critically important. You have to know what your North Pole story is. There are certain truths. Santa is a toy maker. He wears a red suit. He has a white beard, but he also has a wife all year long, and not only at the North Pole, but all over the world. And he needs to know what he's doing in those places, why he's there, and what's going on in his daily life.
So being a drama major really helps this.
Well, it helped initially. Education is really what is critically important. You come to school and you learn everything about how to be one of Santa's helpers. You learn how to look like Santa. You learn how to act like Santa, how to talk like Santa. You meet suppliers. You find out where to buy Santa suits and other Santa attachments for your suits, good belts, good buckles, the special magic key that you need to stretch the chimney, and other things. and you learn hygiene. Santa has to know you don't eat any garlic or any onions for 2 or 3 months, or whenever you're going to see anybody, but especially during the Christmas season. You need to know that you need to look regal and pristine. Your hair needs to be well kept. Everything has to be in place, because Santa is a very special, special person.
And so what kind of people come to learn to be Santa? What is your student body like?
Well, it's an interesting phenomena that has changed with time also as America has aged. It used to be that most people did not start to become Santa's helpers until they were in their 60s. Even though I started at 16, that was not normal. And so most of the Santas started in their 60s. And now, because of education, and because it's a profession, a lot of fellows are starting in their 40s and even their 30s. So most Santa's helpers were only Santa's helpers for 10 to 20 years.
So when you see people who are younger, are they at a disadvantage being Santa?
Oh, no, they have an advantage.
They
will bleach their beards and maybe their hair and eyebrows. Being Santa, by the way, is incredibly emasculating. And that's another thing we have to teach all of our Santas. It's a lot of time and money. I can tell you can easily spend a whole day every month at the hairdressers.
Wow.
And clothes, you can have more clothes than any woman in your house, whether it's your teenage daughter or your wife. You have to have your Santa suits and Santa clothes.
How many Santa outfits do you have?
I have 3, which is not really that many, but I also have many other Santa outfits that are not traditional. I have a Santa robe, which is what you would use in a parade or in some cases at corporate events. Huh. I have different types of clothing, like if you wanted me to play in your golf tournament. Oh, I've got a beautiful Santa golf outfit. I love it. And you should know, Santa never cheats at anything, but I can beat any golfer. I could have beaten Jack Nicklaus. I can beat Tiger Woods. There's nobody that can beat me if I have my elf caddy.
Wow.
And then, of course, I've got my Santa bathing suit. Looks a lot like what they wore in this country in the 1890s, red and white, long full-body suit. But I have many different looks that are clearly traditional Santa.
What Christmas scenario would require a bathing suit?
Well, first of all, at the North Pole, if the temperature's over 33 degrees, it's not frozen. Actually, 32 is frozen, but we want to have at least a little shadow of doubt there. And so we'll go swimming if it's 33 degrees at the North Pole.
Oh, boy.
But, here they have, at a few places, swim with Santa in Christmas. And then, of course, Christmas in July, photos on the beach. Oh, there's so many things. People are really starting to get that Christmas spirit all year round. Oh, I love it.
And I know that you as a Santa are, you know, you have all these people who are, you know, at your school, which is wonderful. You're teaching people how to be Santa. You also, and on your website, you mentioned you're a member of a lot of different organizations. The International Brotherhood of Real Bearded Santas, Georgia Metro Santas, Peachtree Santas, Central Georgia Santas, Real Bearded and Santas of North Georgia, so on and so on. Tell me about these groups, because I did not know there were so many professional associations of Santa Claus.
Well, with the advent of schools and the beginning of the cottage industry of being a professional Santa, different chapters and organizations have grown and become created at different parts of the country. Georgia has a lot of Santas, actually, that are trying to be professional. Per capita, we're probably one of the higher states of in the number of Santas. However, there are bigger states with bigger populations like California, but they have probably less Santas per capita than we do. But there is a huge shortage of professional real bearded Santas, or even professional designer bearded Santas. And I don't mean to discount them at all. The designer beards today are gorgeous. They're real human hair. They used to be yak. Before that, they were rayon and things like that, which itched terribly. And before that, they were like a cotton mop, which was absolutely horrible.
And so these people, they get together. Do you help, I don't know, come up with standards for Santas?
Well, the different meetings of different groups have different agendas, but basically it's just so the guys can get together and have a good meal, because it always focuses usually around a buffet of some type, but definitely food. And they talk about how the season went and help each other with any tough jobs they had that they have to talk through. You know, being Santa is incredibly emotional in a positive and negative way, in a light and in a heavy way, in a happy and a sad way. People tell Santa the absolute funniest things, and you laugh so hard you cry. But on the other hand, they also tell Santa some of the saddest things, and you will cry tears of sorrow. And you have to decompress from that. And, you know, sometimes you can talk to your best friend or your wife, but a lot of times you really need to just talk to another Santa brother, a member of the Santa family, and heal through that process.
Sure. Is that a challenge that comes up often, maybe kids or even adults trying to confide in Santa?
You know, it's an amazing gift to be Santa, because people just love you because you're Santa, and they trust you because you're Santa, and they tell you absolutely everything. And you, a good Santa, every season will laugh tears of joy and cry tears of sadness. So, yes, we are often told about things that people won't tell their spouse if they're an adult. But if they're younger, they'll tell you things that are sad, too.
Wow.
I mean, how do you answer some of the questions you get asked, like, you know, my puppy or my cat or my mother or father is dying, or they have cancer, or they're getting a divorce, or a lot of other things even worse than that. And you have to, you're not a psychiatrist, you're not a psychologist, you're not a policeman, and you're not a lot of people who work in that clergy, who are trained for years to deal with that.
Sure.
And you have to, as Santa, know how to answer that. So those are some of the things we address so that you know how to talk as Santa in school.
How do you stay, you know, in your jolly way while dealing with something so grim like that?
Don't confuse tears with being a jolly person. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, I'm always jolly, even when I'm crying. I'm not as jolly as I am when I'm laughing, but I'm not as sad as the guy who's not jolly. There are just moments in life that require a little more of this emotion or that emotion. I try to accent the positive of whatever it is. For example, if you were a child who came to me and said, you know, Mom and Dad are getting a divorce this year, can you keep them together or whatever? You know, while the answers are different with each child, the gist is the positive upswing on it. Mm-hmm. And so that would be, you know, your mom and dad love you a lot. And they want this to be a very special Christmas because they know this is a very tough Christmas for you. So you know what? I'm going to make sure I talk to the elves about this situation, and we're going to make this a very special Christmas for you because that's really what your mom and dad want, because they love you no matter what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
That's comforting.
That doesn't solve the divorce, but they got heard. You gave them a real answer. And that's the thing about Santa. When he talks, he has to be understood with every word he uses by anybody that hears it. And he has to be logical. And if he is understood and logical, then he's believable. It doesn't mean you're going to believe him, but he's believable. And if you can't believe him, he's not Santa.
Mm-hmm. Do you find that children have become more skeptical in the time that you've been Santa? Or I guess I'm wondering, are kids more, because they get so much more information, like, on the internet.
Mm-hmm. Grow up fast.
Do you think they start to question it earlier?
No, I'll tell you a story. If an older child tells a younger child there's no Santa, every single one of them does the exact same thing, whether it's a boy or a girl, they do the same thing. And that is, they go home to mom and dad and they massage it however they want. They can say Santa's real or he's not real. We all know, of course, if they say he's not real, oh, the parents are wrong, but you don't want to say that in front of the children. But that being said, if an adult, if any adult, whether they look like Santa or not, if they are asked if Santa is real or if you are Santa, and the child doesn't believe them, then they just killed Santa. Now, that doesn't mean that they won't want their Christmas presents. It doesn't mean you've ruined the spirit of Christmas for them, which you may have, mm-hmm. but it means they will no longer believe in Santa. So it's every adult's job to really covet and protect Santa's reputation, especially if they have anything to do with the Christmas season. Mm-hmm. And because Santa's real,
sure.
And he's in all of us.
What are, you know, I know you help other Santas that you've trained, you know, find Santa work and help them, you know, be, you know, deliver the Christmas spirit to wherever they might, it might be needed. Where are the prestigious Santa jobs where you would send the best of the best Santas?
Well, every job is equally as important. I don't choose one Santa over another because of the type of job it is. There are jobs that some might consider more important. There's a Santa at the governor's mansion. There's a Santa at the White House. There's a Santa on your show tonight. There's, you know, and there are homeless shelters, and there are private family reunions, mm-hmm. and there are corporate events. And none of them are more important because every one of them has children of all ages. P.T. Barnum said it best. Children of all ages, we're all somebody's child. And Santa's job is to treat all children the same in his mind, whether they're 4 or 94. So I might pick one Santa over another because I have an army of Santas as a Santa agent. I may pick one over another, but it's not because it's a more important job. It's because it's a better match. Mm-hmm. There are Santa's helpers are just people, and some would rather do an adult party than a child's party, or vice versa. Mm-hmm. Or some, because the suits are so expensive, don't want to be around food, whether it's a child's party or an adult party. Some don't want to be at a party where there's alcohol. Some would only want to do a parade or photo session. So on the back end, when I'm an agent for the Santa's helpers, I try to do a matchmaking service. I try to get the Santa that's going to like your job the best and that you would like the best, even though every single one of them are professionally trained and can do the same job. I want to set up a situation so they can come back every year. You want them and they want you. And that also helps keep the magic of Santa and of Christmas alive.
Are there some Santa jobs that are more difficult than others, or certain scenarios that, you know, you would, you know, having been a Santa for so long, would require some Santa experience?
Absolutely. When we visit senior facilities, to me, that's the one job I think is the best. It's the most humbling and amazingly beautiful and sad experience you can have, because you go into some of these memory wards, and these are people who don't know their spouse, who they've been married to for 50, 60, even 70 years, and they know you. They don't know their children, who are 40, 50, 60 years old, and they know you. And not all of the people in the memory ward are like that, but the majority are. And it's really an emotional situation in a beautifully painful way. Mm. I'm very humbled by it. It's bizarre to me. I can't imagine what it would be like. And the children and spouses are there. I can't imagine what they're feeling when their spouse or parents don't recognize them, but they know me.
Have you ever been invited to represent Santa at an event that required something new of you, or an unusual skill?
Well, you know, it's funny. A lot of times people at a corporate event will hand you a script they want you to memorize 3 minutes before you're supposed to say it.
Oh, jeez.
Thank all these people who are sponsors or whatever. That's always a real nightmare, but it doesn't always turn out bad. We get asked to do all kinds of things, and that's part of what is so important about being trained professionally. I have gone into so many situations. We, you know, if Aunt Martha is dying and it's April and her favorite holiday is Christmas, we'll do Christmas in April, and it may be at home or the hospital or hospice. So those are always individually different. There's a lot of dynamics there with the person who's dying as well as the family members. Then you go into things where children literally don't have anything. One of the things that I got this year was a letter from a child who was in fifth or sixth grade. That's not a 4 or 5 year old. That's a 10 or 11 year old. Mm-hmm. And they asked me to get them some friends.
Oh,
I have to respond to that letter. And I did, but you get asked for absolutely everything. I've been asked for a bed. People don't have beds that come to see me.
Oh, gosh.
I mean, we get asked for everything. That's why I'm saying it's not an easy, fun job. It's an amazing opportunity to share in the intimate and raw emotions and souls of individuals.
Mm. So are there people you see, you know, if you see children in the Atlanta area, do you see people often, the same kids or year after year? Do you watch the kids grow up or into adults?
I see the children, kids or goats. I see the children grow up. That's right. It's a mistake a lot of people make.
That's true. I guess a guy with reindeer, you know, you got to be specific.
That's right. But I have connections that I make. There's one child who is in Arizona. His name is Campbell. And I met him 6 years ago. He's 12 now. He might even be 13. He came to Atlanta because he had a medical condition that nobody else in the world had, and he came to see a doctor at Emory. They nicknamed him a swan, which stood for symptoms without a name. He had three disorders that are really serious. Any of them could kill you. But that aside, if you have one, you can't have the other two. And all three of them were that way, and he had all three. So he's a one-of-a-kind person. We became friends. I've been up to see him a couple times in Arizona. He's been down to see me. We talk via email and through his parents on a regular basis. There's a young lady here that I met about 4 years ago, I think. Her name is Evie, and she is a sweet little girl, perfectly healthy, of course. And she fell in love with me, and I fell in love with her. And she comes to wherever I'm at. If it's a public appearance, she's there with her parents. Huh. She's been at Braves games because I'm the Santa for the Braves and the Falcons. Mm-hmm. And she also goes to photographers where I'm having photo sessions. And when she had a problem with her foot and had to go in the hospital and have it operated on, her parents called me, and I went to the hospital, and actually, I put on the full gown and mask so you couldn't tell who I was. And I went into the room. Her mother and dad knew I was going to be there, but she didn't.
Aww.
And I came in, and about 2 hours before she was going to have surgery, and I grabbed her chart, and I said, oh, my goodness, there are some great doctors here. But and then you couldn't tell who I was. Had the beard covered and everything. I said, oh, my goodness, you have some great doctors here in Emory, some of the best. But the very best doctors are at the North Pole. I'm going to order a helicopter, and we're going to take you to the North Pole in about a half hour. Did you bring your coat? And she got this, I mean, she's worried about her foot, not the North Pole, right? And she got these beautiful big eyes that swole up and got really wide open. And, and I said, yes, we must go to the North Pole soon to take care of this. And then she started laughing because she realized who I was. And, of course, I pulled off my mask and everything, and it was just great. We developed beautiful relationships with children of all ages.
Aww.
That's really, really adorable. And so, you know, as we get closer and closer to Christmas, how, you know, I know you're a year-round Santa, but how busy does it get? You know, we were lucky that Santa had the night free. It's so rare, but how busy does it generally get?
Well, you know, I don't know if this is the best way to describe it, but we are incredibly busy, maybe busier than a one-arm paper hanger. I mean, it's just wild.
Oh, okay. I don't see. Wow. That was a new comparison.
Yes.
New one to me.
Well, I don't mean to offend anybody, but you know they're very busy.
I'm not offended at all. It just took me a second to get it. And so the rest, you know, this is going to air on Christmas Eve. So what is? But you know, we're recording a few weeks before. What is?
Oh. Thank goodness, because, you know, I have to be in my sleigh. The elves have to be calmed down before I leave. You know, they get really frantic. So, you know, this is good that we're doing this in advance.
Yes.
Well, so there's a question for you. On Christmas Eve.
Oh, I love that when you say it.
On Christmas Eve, you know, do you have to bring snacks in the sleigh? You must get very hungry, right?
I never get hungry. You know, it's a funny thing. Many times, I'll just pick up a few cookies for the ride, which I don't really need. Mm. But I also, of course, there's cookies all over. It's mm-hmm. great. Snickerdoodles, chocolate chip, Oreo, sugar cookies. Oh, there's so many cookies. And as long as they're not gluten-free, they're delicious.
What are your favorite cookies?
Well, they're all my favorites if they've got sugar in them.
All right. There you go.
When I was a kid, Santa would obviously eat the cookies, but the reindeer would also leave chewed up carrots on the driveway.
And well, they do that, you know.
Yeah. That was part of our experience going out every morning and seeing that.
Do all the other reindeer, do they regret being mean to Rudolph?
I'm sorry, what was that?
Do they regret being mean to Rudolph, all the other reindeer?
Well, you know, that song is, you know, the North Pole is very old, older than any country that exists today.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, that's not the real words to the song, all of. Actually, that song is a great opportunity to learn a very important skill in life. That song, do you know what it's about?
It's about a red-nosed reindeer who was...
No, not at all.
A hero? No?
What?
It's about being a bully.
Oh.
Mm. That makes
sense.
And
the words that you sing are not exactly right. We changed it from the original version. You see, it used to be Olive, the other reindeer. Her name was Olive. She was a very upset reindeer with Rudolph. You know, it's a funny thing. At the North Pole, Mrs. Claus and I and the elves, we all get along. We play tricks on each other. It's true.
Sure.
We make each other crazy. That's also true. But we never mean to each other. But the reindeer, you know, they get a little pesky sometimes. And there was this reindeer named Olive. And she used to shout and call him names. That's mm-hmm. like the song says. And so when we wrote the song, we fixed the problem, of course. We talked to Olive and got it straightened out. But
good.
When we fixed the song, we originally wrote it as Olive the Other Reindeer used to shout and call him names. And we realized very quickly, I might add, within a matter of days, that wasn't the right thing to do because that made Olive feel bad about making Rudolph feel bad.
Mm.
And we were trying to make everything better. So we change it to all of the other reindeers. But the reindeers, as a group, they're great. They're just great.
Sure. So, I mean, that myth really took off, I got to say.
Oh, it did, didn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the TV specials about it, you know, there's a whole lot of a lot of canon behind that
a
now.
A lot of pop culture.
Yeah.
Oh, it's true.
If someone is planning an event maybe in your area and wants to find either you or a Santa in your network, where would you suggest that they go online?
Well, there's two places they can go. There's SantaRick.com. Mm-hmm. Oh, I love to say that, SantaRick.com. And that's really a great way to get me all year round, but especially once October hits, because I'm unavailable a lot of the year, but once October hits, I'm almost impossible to get on the phone on your first call in. Mm-hmm. So if you go onto that website and send me an email, then what will happen is my staff can pick that up and make sure that we respond to you very fast, because if I'm working with someone, I'm not going to answer my phone or a text.
Sure.
There's another place they can go, which is the Northern Lights Santa Academy, an S on lights, Northern Lights SantaAcademy.com, and they can see all about the school, and they can also send me an email through that as well. And they can also see all kinds of things that Santa's buy if they go to the resource page. There's some beautiful Santa buttons. Oh, they're so pretty.
I mean, do you, as a Santa who also, you know, get, you know, sells merchandise, it must be a very special delivery when you give that to people.
Well, I don't sell any merchandise. Those are sites that we put on the school website that are vendors.
Mm.
And this is where Santas buy stuff.
Got it.
From Santa suppliers. They can also, through the website or my website, through the school website or my website, contact us to do either a live or pre-recorded video chat with your children all year long, not just at Christmas.
Oh, that'd be exciting.
Hmm.
Oh, it is exciting. We love to do that.
Well, Santa Rick, thank you. We're going to get you we're going to let you get back to the making of the toys just a few short weeks before Christmas. Mm-hmm.
I'm going to tell you a secret. It's less than 2 weeks till Christmas, but the elves have done such a good job this year. I'll tell you a secret if you promise not to tell.
We swear.
Mrs. Claus has planned a big snowball fight and barbecue for the elves this weekend, and they are going to love that.
Wow, that's amazing. Well, by the time this airs, it'll have already happened, so I hope that, you know, I hope that...
Oh, that's right.
I just hope that the elves, they post on Instagram or something, we can see some of the photos.
Oh, that'll be wonderful.
Well, Santa, stay safe. I know it's a, you know, blustery night often on Christmas Eve. And thank you for taking the time and being a wonderful, iconic person in our world today.
Well, thank you. And to the both of you, have a very, very Merry Christmas. You know, that's my favorite holiday. But even more important than that, have a very healthy and happy and prosperous New Year.
You too, Santa. Thank you.
Bye-bye.